It's time for Windows Weekly. Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley are here. We're going to talk about the Windows update, Windows flaws patched and unpatched, also what's new in the Windows Insider program, and why Skype is calling it the Skype Insiders program. It's all coming up next on Windows Weekly.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Windows Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Windows Weekly with Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley, episode 491, recorded Wednesday, November 9th, 2016. Sticky Notes Insight. Windows Weekly is brought to you by FreshBooks, the super simple cloud accounting software that's giving thousands of freelancers and small businesses the tools to save time billing and get paid faster. Try it free at FreshBooks.com/Windows. And by Casper, an online retailer of premium mattresses for a fraction of the price, because everyone deserves a great night's sleep. Get $50 off any mattress purchase by visiting Casper.com/Windows. And entering the promo code Windows. And by Carbonite. Keep your business safe this year. Protect files on your computer or server with automatic cloud backup from Carbonite. Try it free without a credit card at Carbonite.com today. Use the offer code Windows to get 2 free bonus months if you decide to buy. It's time for Windows Weekly, the show where we talk about Windows Weekly. And there he is, Paul Thurrott from the Weekly. He's W-E-A-K. Hi, Paul.
Hello, Leo.
Oh, look what Skype just did to you. Oh, Skype.
I must have hit the space bar. But
you hit the space bar. Well, Skype doesn't allow that. Paul's picture
I am clearly unable to handle technology. I don't even know why I do this.
Yeah. You need to work on the cyber. Also here, Mary Jo Foley from allaboutmicrosoft.com. And each week we gather to talk about Microsoft. Why is Steve Ballmer giving big interviews to theindependent.co.uk? Why isn't he giving them to you, Mary Jo Foley?
And Bloomberg.
Yeah. What's that all about? They asked.
Mary Jo doesn't cover NBA basketball.
Exactly. I was going to say, I think he did it to get some mention of his team on those venues, but just a guess.
But we got lots of juicy tidbits, like Steve and Bill didn't get along all that well.
Which we had heard at the end of
the
whole
split. Right. I mean, they got along well for many years.
Right.
Yeah.
But Ballmer said they kind of fought over hardware. Ballmer really thought they should do hardware. Steve disagreed.
He wanted to do Rubber Soul, and Steve didn't.
I blame Melinda. Did he reveal anything that we didn't know?
Before we get to that, let me ask you folks a question.
Yes, sir.
Why did he talk about this?
That's my question. Why now?
Why?
My guess.
He went to Bloomberg. Yeah.
Emily asked the right questions. You got to give her credit. Emily Chai credit.
Why now?
Yeah.
I think because he wanted publicity for the Clippers.
Did he sneak in a little plug there?
He did. So if you look what Bloomberg did, they broke it up into segments. And I think one did talk about what he's doing with the team.
I missed that one.
I think it
wasn't as highly promoted.
No.
It was not.
Windows bombshell ruined my friendship.
Yeah.
Well, he also wanted to talk about, I don't know if you guys saw the story that Bloomberg did about what he's doing around government and how he's doing an equivalent, I think, of a 10K for the federal government. And he's going to be talking about that next year. So I think he wanted to talk about that, too.
What's that? Okay. The 10K for the federal government?
You mean like a marathon race, Mary Jo?
What is that?
Not that kind of a 10K.
Explain to me. What is that?
I'm looking for the story. So the headline on it is great. Steve Ballmer's plan to make America great involves Excel spreadsheets.
I thought that was a joke.
Brother.
No.
They just posted that in chat. I thought they were joking.
No, he's got a new project that's called USA Facts, F-A-C-T-S, and it's hundreds of Excel files and PowerPoint slides that he's pulled together to do like an equivalent of a 10K form or a 10K filing, you know, that investors look at.
Oh, he's become he's trying one to do of those this for the crazy old
isn't that a
people.
10Q filing?
It's a 10Q. Yeah.
Oh, no.
There's also a 10K, I think, right?
Yep. It says 10K.
Right. So he wanted to talk about that with Bloomberg. So my guess is they said, okay, we'll let you talk about that, but we want more than just that, right?
Okay. I just thought it was curious timing. But so, it allows me to drag out my old chestnut that in 2007, when Steve Ballmer made fun of the iPhone, he was right. And this is the thing, like, this drives Mac people crazy, like Apple guys, you know? And they love pulling out this clip because he's laughing and he's making fun of it. And it sort of betrays a basic misunderstanding of the man, because if you watch this clip from 2007, he's in full-blown marketing, I love Microsoft mode, ha, ha, ha. And then he gets really serious all of a sudden. He says, you know what? Maybe it's successful, maybe it's not. We don't know. And then he gets really serious. And that was always Steve Ballmer's persona, you know? But the central complaints that he made about the iPhone at the time were correct. It was too expensive. Apple dropped the price by $200 just 2 months later.
And Ballmer's point was he didn't understand Apple's brilliant business strategy of making the carrier subsidize it and put it in the monthly.
So actually, it's funny. Okay. So I wrote this in my article let me just finish the other thought, though,
because
the second half of it is business use. And this was something I wrote about extensively that summer. The original iPhone and the iPhone OS at the time was horrible with Exchange and Exchange Active Sync. Something they changed in 2.0. When you go forward a year and look at that keynote that Steve Jobs did, they talked up enterprise features over and over and over again. So those two central complaints that he made were correct. The phone was $600 or $700 or whatever. You could buy a Motorola Q for $99 at the time. I mean, that was his central thing. The subsidized thing is very interesting to me because he used the same language with Bloomberg that he did in 2007. And I actually think he doesn't know what it means. you know, it's just kind of funny. But I think what so regardless of the sort of semantics of it, one of the interesting, I don't want to call it innovations, but things that Apple was able to achieve with the original iPhone was that you didn't pay for the phone. You rolled the price of the phone into your cellular bill, and AT&T at the time handled that for Apple. And, you know, that's basically subsidized. But it was just a unique deal that the iPhone had when it launched. And so it helped hide the cost of the phone from the consumer. And they weren't the first to do it, you know, whatever. But, you know, they were the first. I mean, like so many other things, I think they jump-started this method of buying phones, you know, by virtue of his success. Anyway, I find it kind of goofy that he almost apologized for what he said. He didn't really apologize, but he almost did. And I go back, I've looked at this so many times, and I always come over with the same feeling. Like, at that time, in 2007, he was right. And by the way, Apple changed the product to address his complaints. Why does no one else see that?
Well, he doesn't even say he was right. He said he missed the point of, you know, the clever business strategy Apple had of getting the carriers to subsidize. Even he kind of says that's he doesn't say he was right. He says, well, I guess
implies
he was right. Nobody's going to pay that out of pocket.
Right. he doesn't.
My
point
is
he doesn't defend himself well enough.
Yeah, but I have to point out that the carrier subsidy is gone and people are still buying $1,000 iPhones. So what's changed?
No, what's changed is that 10-year period has happened because no one saw this in 2007. In fact, you could probably look this up. I wouldn't be surprised to discover that plan was something that, you know, Singular, then AT&T kind of worked out with Apple. Remember, Apple went to every other wireless carrier in the United States before them and were turned down everywhere. And that company was struggling at the time, said, all right, we'll do it. And they agreed to a bunch of stuff that, you know, Apple still has like carte blanche to install updates, and there's all kinds of other special treatment that they get. What's happened is Apple sold 1 billion iPhones since then, but they did it by improving the product, by expanding the reach to do wireless carriers in the United States and then internationally and then to China. But that wasn't the case in September 2007. I mean, this could have gone either way. That thing didn't have an app store when it launched, which we all know agree is a central aspect of any smartphone platform. You know, so they improved it. They were smart. You know, they did a good job. But the iPhone, as it first launched, you know, that was a very expensive phone for that day. Today, yeah, amazingly, we think nothing of spending $800 or $1,000 on a phone. It's crazy.
And Apple did great, and Microsoft's phone strategies did not. So.
Well, I
don't know if
Microsoft
you could say Ballmer
great.
Was
what do you mean,
right. I think it's a stretch to say Ballmer was prescient.
No, Ballmer was right about what he said about the iPhone. Yeah, the strategy. Look, it's easy to look. Microsoft wasn't a smartphone company. There were companies that only did smartphones, like Nokia and BlackBerry RIM and like Palm.
Yeah, they're all gone.
Were all swept aside by the iPhone. That was all those companies did. Right. I mean, it's a little unfair to rip on Microsoft for missing the boat. Everyone missed the boat.
No, I rip on everybody for missing the boat.
Yeah.
But you know what else is interesting about the year 2007? That's the year that Microsoft started redoing its whole phone strategy, right? That's the year. Remember codename Photon?
Yeah. So,
So they were doing the old Windows Mobile up till then, where it was a business focused thing. It was like more like a PDA. Then they suddenly were like, oh, we need to like change what we're doing completely with the phone. So that is when he was there then. He was leading that charge then. So I think that's when they went way too far over to the consumer side, forgot about the business customers. This was all way before Nokia or any of that, right?
Yeah, no, that's because at the time they were so wrapped up in that Apple envy thing.
Yeah.
And they saw how successful the iPhone was becoming, and they said, we got to do this thing. We got to do it just like that. And
right.
It didn't work.
So publicly, he's out there like going, oh, Apple iPhone, it's a toy. Inside, they're going, guys, we got to build this thing, right? Like, hurry up.
Right. Yeah. So, by the way, they did try first with Windows Mobile. First with the 6.5 or whatever, and then the Photon thing, which would have been 7. Which they canceled, and then they started over from scratch, sort of, with Windows Phone.
Of course, what nobody mentions is that Apple convinced the carriers to subsidize it and move the majority of the money into the monthly cost of the phone. And then the carriers, after stopping that practice last year, didn't reduce the monthly cost of the phone. So it's a win-win all around, I got to say. Everybody except Microsoft.
Yeah.
Win-win.
The two biggest innovations in the iPhone were convincing people that they no longer needed battery life that lasted more than 7 hours. And because, remember those smartphones that Steve Jobs made fun of on stage. The iPhone launch all had days of battery life. Right? I mean, that's kind of amazing. And then the price, just the sheer cost of these devices. But you can't begrudge them this in a way, at least not the price part of it. I mean, they came out with something that was truly innovative and amazing. And the first version is always going to be lacking in some ways, of course. But it was so clear. It should have been clear to anybody. I don't think anybody really saw the iPhone and thought, this is a joke. It's never going to make it. I think everyone was really excited by it.
I was. Remember, we were doing.
I assume everyone was. I assume even the Microsoft guys were really, but they couldn't say that publicly.
Yeah, maybe. Well, that's interesting. So what else did we learn? Anything new? I mean, you say that everybody knew that there was tension between
at the end, people knew.
And Gates. But I don't know. I thought that was kind of revelatory that they.
Well, I think the hardware part of it was right.
Yeah.
The notion that they were fighting over.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. He made that really clear. Like the thing we were most disagreeing over was the hardware. Like, should we be a hardware player?
That could be his revisionist point of view, since Microsoft has done so well in hardware since.
Yeah.
But under Ballmer, hardware was a complete failure. Surface RT.
But he okayed Surface, right? In other words,
he did.
You could make the argument that, it's literally a fact. Surface wouldn't exist if Steve Ballmer didn't say yes. And you could make the argument that today it's pretty successful, right? And that wouldn't be here. If he had said no, apparently that's what Bill Gates wanted, not to do hardware.
Right.
Where would they be now? Well, they wouldn't
richer,
have
probably.
I don't think actually as successful as it's been, it's become a big business for them. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. The part I was interested in this new interview was because I interviewed him on his way out, and I tried to get him to say what he thought he was successful at and what he thought he wasn't successful at. And he was way more evasive when I interviewed him, but it was, when he was leaving the company. So I don't think he had the distance and the time to really reflect. But he said, if you look what I did right, here's what he said. Office 365, Azure, working on the hardware business with Surface, and Bing. He counts Bing as a win, even though it took them 10 years to become profitable with Bing. He said, you know, it was kind of setting them up for what they did later with machine learning and AI, which is technically true. I'll give him that. But he said, you know, the whole thing about the mobile operator is blah. Okay.
That was, I don't know. There, you know, Microsoft didn't have that kind of relationship. You know, they had partners in the PC space. They tried to partner like that in other businesses. They were cast aside by TV and content companies when they tried to get into those businesses. I just don't think they had that. You know, they approached Windows Mobile from a business standpoint. It was almost like a mini PC business.
And they had, as we talked about for years, like a disastrous relationship with some of the carriers, especially Verizon. But
still do.
You know, I mean, you go into any store. I mean, I don't mean now that they basically have given up on phones, but up until recently, you go in any mobile store, anyone, not just Verizon, and nobody wants to sell you a Windows phone. I mean, that isn't.
You could go into
that,
AT&T.
I don't just now. Right.
And they were like the premier partner in the United States. You could buy a Windows phone there if your life depended on it.
I know. So, yeah, they never really figured out the mobile operator part and the retail part of that strategy.
No.
I think you said
something, by the way, since we're talking, Paul, because we're talking history.
Maybe I'm just slow on the uptake, but Microsoft thought of the phone business as kind of like the PC business.
Yeah, that's exactly
right. I think that's really telling.
Yeah.
Well, but that's their perspective when you're a hammer, right?
Everything's a nail.
And that was their big successful business. The other thing, I think, just to reflect on this for a second, only a company like Apple could have made the iPhone because their other stuff wasn't that successful. And then they had this iPod thing and it was like, ding, you know, this thing is taking off. What else can we do that's like this? You know, Microsoft was successful with PCs and with Windows. Well, that's everything they did was based on that success. Microsoft could never have made the iPhone.
We've been talking here a lot about an article from Horace Dediu on Asimco talking about why Apple will never do a touch Mac. And one of the things he says is that Apple suppressed its immune system and allowed a touch device to come up and eat its business, its mainstream business, making computers. He said because the PC industry failed to do a touch-first device, they were compelled, Windows, Microsoft was compelled to add touch to its desktop. And, you know, time will tell which strategy was right. He said Apple...
It's need-driven.
It's need-driven. And Apple basically has given birth to the next generation, which is still in its adolescence and can't yet do all the things a desktop computer can do. So they still need to make a desktop computer, but they're not going to put touch in the desktop.
Because the
iPhone is the future. The iPad is the future.
Right.
And it's just going to continue until the child can take over from the parent.
It's gone. Exactly. It would be like Apple of the 1980s, the mid 1980s, going back and putting a GUI on top of, actually they did it briefly, didn't they? The 2GS. I was going to say the Apple II. Actually they did kind of do that. And then that was the end of that, but you don't go back to the old thing.
Right. I think, and Apple was very good at suppressing the immune system, you know,
but you know, again, they had
Microsoft had that problem
with
all the divisions saying over my dead body,
the Mac was always single digit market share. It was a good business, but the iPod came out and it exploded. They had all different models and colors and it was the biggest thing in the world. And
had the iPod not happened, the iPhone might not have happened. The iPod showed
the way. I think so. Yeah. Certainly not the way it was.
I mean, the other reason Microsoft adds new features is because of its OEM business model, right? Like the reason they're adding touch and ink, I would argue, is to help OEMs make more expensive PCs and charge people more for them.
Yep.
They're in this with them. They are.
Oh, it's a cabal.
Mutual interest society, in a way.
Right?
But it is.
Well, it is. I mean, you know,
I know it is. I know. It's like a virtuous circle, right?
There's
like,
mutual interest. Yeah,
it is.
You have to be able to demonstrate consumer benefit, but you also have to wonder if that's the primary concern.
Well, profit is the primary concern, no matter what. Ultimately, consumer benefit drives profit, or you can't have a business.
Yeah.
Well, you has to. Yeah. You don't have a business if people don't find, you know, your products beneficial.
Although I'll go back to ink as an example, and even touch to some extent. Sure. I think there is benefit for a segment of users of those two technologies, but I don't think it's something that everybody wants or needs. And I think maybe they could have been fine without adding those, except that they needed to have some new trick, basically.
Right. Yeah. Apple, like Leo said, will improve iOS and the iPhone and the iPad, whatever, until those things are as powerful as PCs, essentially.
Yeah.
Microsoft kind of came at it from a different direction, which was, well, we already have this PC. This mm-hmm. mobile touch-based thing is taking off. Let's put that stuff in Windows, you know?
Yep.
It's not necessarily hugely successful.
Right. And if you look at what they're doing with augmented reality and virtual reality, they're trying to set up the same model, right? They're lining up OEMs, they're giving them the operating system, and they're saying, okay, go build stuff that uses this. And we'll give you the operating system and the features, and you build it.
Exactly. And the $300 version of that thing will be the netbook of VR solutions. It will be crappy.
Yeah.
You know, because that's how that's how this stuff works.
Yeah.
You know.
Anything else we learned from Mr. B in his strangely timed decision to go public? You think maybe he's also writing a memoir? Like maybe this is the opening salvo of
revisiting it. Yeah.
That's interesting. You know, when he left Microsoft, I asked Microsoft if anybody was writing his biography, and they said, no, are you volunteering? And I'm like, nope.
Oh, Mary Jo. Squandered opportunity.
Yeah. Nope. Yeah. Plus, what do I know about basketball, you guys? Nothing. So,
no,
really.
You.
Like, you got to have
that. We can do this, Mary Jo.
No. You, Paul, it's all you. It's all you. Yeah. I don't know. There were some like little good vignettes, him talking to his wife. By the way, Ballmer's wife used to work at Wagner Edstrom in the PR firm. And now she's really dedicating herself to philanthropy. And there's a vignette in this whole thing about him looking at the government and doing the 10K, about him talking to his wife and saying, well, all we have to do is give away our money. And she's like, no, you have to do more than just give away money. You need to do something good for people and for the country. So it's worth looking this up. The Ballmer's plan to make America great again.
That's a tough term, Mary Jo.
With spreadsheets and PowerPoint presentations. He's like the guy who comes with a briefcase full of papers. Look, I figured it all out. I've been writing for years, and here it is.
And then the wind blows and it all goes flying away.
Do you guys remember this, though? There was a really great profile of Ballmer years ago by the New York Times, and they talked about he's got like this overdeveloped capacity for numbers.
Right. Well, it makes a good CEO.
Whenever he hears a number or numbers and shoes, right. Like he could remember any stat that people would say. He could look at a spreadsheet in a second and just say, why is this not working?
Yeah.
He has that weird capability with Excel.
It's funny. My wife is the same way.
Really?
And so I believe this about Ballmer because I've seen her do it. She can look at a massive spreadsheet of numbers and go, that's wrong.
Sure.
I mean, like seconds. Yeah. And I think that it's a kind of a genius that some people do have. It makes you a good, you know, CEO.
It does. Right?
Yeah.
Great.
His
whole point with the spreadsheet thing is I want to make it easier for everyday people who live in the U.S. to understand government data, because right now it's impossible. It's a mess of different sources.
I can't believe he's still thinking about this stuff, you know?
He is. He totally is. Yep.
He's got a little spare time between the basketball seasons.
He does.
I don't know.
Yep.
I guess the guy must commute regularly between Los Angeles and Seattle. I mean, he's got to be really
good. He hasn't moved.
He lives in Seattle still.
Yeah, but he's got houses in L.A. He could spend, he could spend the entire basketball season down there and still say, I have a house in Seattle, right? Mm. I don't know.
Do you watch his
comings and goings? Do you know?
No, I do know he goes back and forth.
He does go back and forth.
Guy like him, well, he's got a private plane, right?
Right.
It's just like his living room. He probably has a, you know, Xbox One there and just gets a couple of quick rounds of Call of Duty in, and then he's in L.A.
It's not a bad schedule.
Not a bad life.
Well, that's what's weird, that he's doing PowerPoints and spreadsheets.
I know. I don't understand it.
I think he can't give that up. It's like it's in his nature, right?
Yeah. That makes sense.
Wow.
That makes sense.
He's still relatively young. I think he's 60, right? He's not old.
Yeah, he is young. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean as a 60-year-old, I think that's very young.
It's interesting. Increasingly, I also have a little problem with the youngness of that age.
It's interesting how your perspective changes.
Yeah. You know? It does.
It's elastic. unlike my knees.
Right. Hey. All right. By the way, I see this note that you say all of this was something we knew back in 2014.
Yeah. A lot of this started leaking out when Microsoft was looking for the next CEO. Like, people were sending little hints around about, you know what, Ballmer and Gates aren't friends anymore, and, you know, things are going kind of bad, and it looks like Steve's going to leave, you know?
Did it seem like, though, it happened sooner? I mean, like, it had been going on longer, but that's the impression I got from Steve, was that this had been going on for a few years.
Yeah, I think he would like it to seem like he wasn't forced out, and in some ways it feels like he was.
He's such a patsy, though. It's, you know, it's not his fault that he took over Microsoft in that period of time, right? They Gates, you know, presided over the upswing.
Yeah.
He, you know, his job was just manage the plateau. Mm-hmm. What was he going
to
do?
Yeah, he talks about how hard it was to manage Bill, right? Like, think about this. Like, Bill Gates is the founder of Microsoft, and then he suddenly is no longer doing the day-to-day responsibilities. And, hey, your job as a CEO is manage this guy.
The funniest thing was when he said, well, it's like mom and dad.
Yeah.
He was the dad, Bill was the mom, and mom's going to win, you know, most of the 60% of the time.
Yep.
That was a little odd.
It was odd.
But I bet you that's kind of how he saw it, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that and Gates is kind of like a Nancy boy.
Oh, jeez. Well,
you know? All Bomber can say is, I remember Bill's pumps, and they were beautiful.
You're not really wearing that, Bill, are you?
All right, let's take a break, and more to come. We have lots more to talk about. Paul Theroux, Mary Jo Foley. We have a Patch Tuesday was yesterday. Windows 10 updates, Skype, Xbox, lots to talk about. But first, a word about your business. TCB, right? Isn't that what Elvis said? Take care of business. When you're in business for yourself, you got a lot to do. You're taking care of the thing you do. For me, it was, you know, going to Canada 1 week a month and doing shows up there. And then afterwards, I would have to send them an invoice and an expense report with all the receipts. So I'd get paid for my travel, my hotel. And the problem is I thought of my business, and I'm sure many of you do, you know, as the fun part, not the doing invoices part, except that you learn very quickly, if you don't send invoices, you don't get paid. So when FreshBooks came along, I was very happy because it turned what was a chore into, dare I say, a pleasure. It was so easy and fast. You can literally 30 seconds to an invoice, and a beautiful invoice too, not just some, you know, when I was doing it with spreadsheets and Word, it was, you know, it was pretty bare bones. But then it had my logo. It automatically calculated everything. It just really was a great solution for me. And because I was sending the invoices by email as well as paper invoices, I got paid faster, a lot faster in most cases. FreshBooks says that on average, FreshBooks users get paid 4 days faster. Now, the thing that's most interesting to me is, and they mentioned this too in their research, they found that most small business owners and freelancers don't actually know how much money they've made. They don't know if they have a profit right now or not. Do you, if you're in freelance, are you profitable today? You probably know, well, I'm paying the bills and I've got this much, I don't know, I got money coming in, I'm pretty sure I'll be okay. With FreshBooks, the new FreshBooks, you have a front page dashboard that tells you everything, how your business is doing, what your profits are, what your expenses are, in a very simple, easy to understand way. So you have quick glance at a glance knowledge. If you're not a Steve Ballmer and you can't just look at the spreadsheet and, you know, the balance sheet and understand it. This, you're going to love this. But you do have access, of course, to all the business reports you might need, including sales tax summary, profit and loss, accounting reports that your accountant will appreciate. Tracking expenses is easy. It's part of the FreshBooks dashboard, too, is what your expenses are. You can literally take a photo of your receipt with the FreshBooks app, by track it by vendor, by category. But it's not a lot of data entry. It's not a lot of bookkeeping. It's not bookkeeping at all. Well, it is, but it doesn't feel like it. If you bill by a client and by hour, they've got great time tracking on the website and in the app. When it comes time to invoice, you'll know what you did. You'll know when you did it. It's just, I can't, I want to go on and on. I probably shouldn't. I just should get you to go to freshbooks.com/windows and understand it's much more than just invoicing. It's really a cloud accounting program. And now the new FreshBooks redesigned from the ground up is so beautiful, so easy to use, so feature rich. You're going to like it. Go to freshbooks.com/windows and get started for free for 30 days. Just click that green button at the bottom of the page. And all I ask is you mention, you know, Windows Weekly in the How Did You Hear About Us section. So Paul and Mary Jo get credit. Windows Weekly. That's the show you're listening to, in case you didn't know. FreshBooks.com/windows. We thank them for their support of Windows Weekly. Paul and Mary Jo. Yes.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
As an aside, we didn't put this in a note. You guys might have noticed there was an election last night. Microsoft's
was there?
Surface Hub was featured very prominently on CNN, and to great effect. Like, I think they did pretty amazing job.
I was watching MSNBC, and they had a big
touch
screen.
That's what I wanted to ask you about, too. And that guy kept complaining about how crappy
it stopped working
was.
At one point.
Yes.
At one point, Brian Williams said, okay, we're being told now, step away from the monitor.
Yep.
Don't touch it.
Okay, so that's why I wanted to bring this up, because I was switching back and forth between those two, well, NBC and CNN. And the guy who was using whatever the big screen was at NBC was so frustrated with it. It was like a Surface Hub ad, you know?
What was it? What was the other screen?
I don't know.
You sure it wasn't a Surface Hub?
Well, on CNN, there were Microsoft logos everywhere.
Maybe it was Jamboard.
I did notice. And they were using Surfaces. Microsoft obviously paid for that because they were all using Surfaces too, right? All the panels?
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I wonder what is, or what do you call that thing? Like what? Like touchscreen thing or whatever?
I'm trying to see if anybody's written about what MSNBC was using.
Because it was really funny.
It was broken.
The guy was very...
He would touch it and he would get mad. Yep. And then
he's like, oh, this guy, you know, stupid thing never works.
Oh, wow.
Apparently, Tom Warren was also tweeting that the BBC touchscreen was having issues.
That's funny.
In their coverage. So the Surface, big win for the Surface. Surface Hub.
Yeah. So we got that going for us. Okay, sorry.
No, it was really, you know, it's rare that you watch a major network like NBC having such trouble with technology during one of their most important broadcasts.
Well, it's interactive. They're working with live data. This is not something that guy or this network probably uses every day on a regular basis. Right. And he clearly was just very, you know, he was hitting stuff. Like, why doesn't this thing work? You know, I'm sure he had been trained. You know, and it just wasn't working, you know. Over on CNN, whoever that guy was, not Wolf Blitzer, but the other guy, clearly had mastered this thing years ago. He was all over it. He's like, you dive into counties and you do this and look, you know, you can do the slider and you can vary your – he was a master.
They needed to have the Pope bless it, I think. That's
yes. Because it needs an exorcism.
It needs to be exorcised.
Yes.
Because otherwise – I really would like to know who's they were using.
It's like, this is the fruit of the devil.
We're watching a video from MSNBC of the Holy Father playing with a touchscreen, and he's actually doing not quite as well as the guy on the election night coverage. He's not doing it. The kids are going, no.
There's literally a child directing his arm.
The child telling him, like a little tiny child, and all the parents are looking on going, oh, look, Holy Father moved the boat. Okay. I just had to show that. That's the only thing I found when I searched for touchscreen in MSNBC. I can't figure out where it is that they – but you're pretty sure it wasn't a Surface Hub. Did it look different?
I didn't see it on TV, so I cannot comment.
You probably were watching PBS.
No, I was not.
You were in a movie. You were wise. You went to a movie.
No, I was I was watching on a big screen, but they had all different stations on.
Well, that's
all
right.
Different
you don't
screens.
Have TV. You had to go to a bar.
I did. I was at Rattle.
Okay. With your people.
With my people with crying people. In their beer.
It's interesting. I mean, both candidates were from New York City. Or New York, I guess.
And they were here.
Yeah. And both were in the city, yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. Yep. I don't when has that ever happened before? I don't think that's ever happened before.
I know.
Moving along, Windows 10. We got our updates yesterday. Today, some of you. Well, I got mine yesterday.
Yeah, but there was, if you're in the insider ring, you got another one today.
Insiders. Oh, see, I'm not one of them anymore.
Wisely. You're normal now.
I was just looking at my updates. I got a lot of updates. I got the cumulative update. Everybody got that. KB3200970. Update for Flash, right? Windows 10 version of Flash for 1607. That's good that Microsoft's keeping that up to date. And then I'm looking at the stuff I got last, a week ago, the Surface Embedded Controller firmware, the Surface System Aggregator firmware, driver update for the Marvell Avastar Bluetooth Radio Adapter, the Surface-based firmware update, the Marvell Avastar Wireless AC Network Controller firmware. That was crazy.
Yep.
So, but now I feel good. Everything's up to date.
Excellent.
Yep. And that fixed the Windows Atom bomb. You guys familiar with that?
No. Oh. Is that the Google thing? No.
I think it's a code injection that was a zero day that,
Google
discovered.
Revealed.
Yeah.
Yeah, it did fix that.
Yeah. Yeah. So they patched that. Steve was talking about that yesterday.
Yeah.
So what's in the Insider build?
The Insider build that just came out today is build 14965. It's Redstone 2, a.k.a. the Windows 10 Creators Update build. And there's not a ton of new features in this one either. There's some things about being able to control external monitors using an on-screen touchpad so that you don't have to connect a mouse in order to do that. So a lot of people seem kind of interested in that. What else was there? Some sticky note updates. Including, if you have the sticky notes, you can get insights through the notes where it automatically updates the information.
Sticky note insights? Really?
Yeah. Yeah. If you do 2 + 2 = on your sticky note, it'll say 4.
Oh, that's neat.
Yeah.
How deep can you go? Can you do a Steve Ballmer kind of spreadsheet thing in there?
I don't know if you can go that deep.
So it's not it's not insight, it's arithmetic.
Yeah. Well, you can do other kinds of things. Phone numbers, like you can write down a phone number on a sticky note and then it can automatically dial it
you. That's nice.
Yep. Yeah. So they're adding more language support for those. They're adding some more updates to the Windows Ink workspace in this version. So just like a lot of little niceties being added in the latest update. They really haven't added some of those creator update features that we saw yet. I don't think there's none of that 3D fancy stuff that we saw on October 26th. So far, Windows My People, that thing where you can pin your most common contacts to the taskbar and just drag and drop things onto them. I don't think that's in there still as of now with these updates, but they're continuing along the path. This is a build that came out today for PC and mobile. Fast Ring.
I just want to correct myself. The Atom Bomb is not the Google Zero Day, which was fixed.
Oh, it's not.
The Atom bomb is not really fixable because it relies on underlying Windows mechanisms that can't really be changed. So this is from Ensilo, a security researcher. Unfortunately, this issue cannot be patched since it doesn't rely on broken or flawed code, rather on how these operating system mechanisms are designed. So I don't know if there's an attempt to address it. Steve described how atom bombing works. It was discovered fairly recently, October 27th. So this is it's a code injection attack.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Sorry. So I just want to make that clear that has not been patched.
Right. The one that did get patched was that zero day that Google divulged, right?
They had to divulge it because it was a zero day. It was being exploited in the wild. And so,
some people are saying they didn't give Microsoft enough time to react.
Yeah, not long.
But it's patched, at least.
Good. And Atom Bomb affects every version of Windows, by the way, not just 10.
It even affects Windows 10, right?
Every version.
Every version. It
goes back and forth throughout time, forever.
Hmm.
We'll see if it's fixable. I'm seeing a post on Petri. Your old boss, right?
Now Petri is them.
Are you still Petri, Paul? Oh, Paul's been muted this whole time. I'm sorry, Paul.
I was like, Paul's being very silent.
Yeah, quiet.
I babble a lot, so Leo just hits mute.
After a while.
I don't know what's going on over
there. Turn that thing off. Rich Jennings. Actually, this is in Thorat, so you've written about it. Richie Jennings. Scary. Atom Bomb Windows security hole said to be unfixable.
Oh, no, Leo, I don't read my own website.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Never mind.
I don't know what's
going on. All versions of Windows released in the past 16 years, and it would break legitimate desktop apps if they fix it.
They should do that then, because
why not?
That would solve a lot of problems.
And existing anti-malware tools can't detect it.
What is this magic program?
It's bad, is what it is.
It's crazy.
It uses exploits Windows Atom tables and async procedure calls to inject code.
Yeah.
According to Microsoft, Charlie Osborne, we encourage our customers to practice good computing habits online, including exercising caution when clicking on links, opening unknown files, or accepting file transfers.
By the way, marketing speak for we got nothing.
We got nothing. he does say this. A user system must already be compromised before malware can utilize code injection techniques. In other words, if you don't have malware on there, nothing's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That also says nothing, right? Because, in other words, it can't be attacked over the network. They have to get malware in there. So it's a design flaw in the OS.
It's like when your phone goes down and you have to call the phone company to tell them that your phone's not working.
Hello? Yeah. Hello?
Why can't I call them?
Anything else about... What is this? What is 14959? Is that another one? We got another one
coming?
That
was last week. Last week, Insider Build.
Yeah.
That's that new fast... What is that? The feature download capability was...
Yeah.
Right.
This is where they start doing something that they've been talking about, which is only making you download what's new in an update, instead of the whole thing.
Delta updates.
Yeah, differential.
We talked to Donna about this in Toronto over the summer. Remember?
Yeah, we did. Yep. And it sounds like they think they can pull this off. Although normal users like me and Leo won't see this until Redstone 3. Late next year.
Oh, so that's not the creative update.
Yep.
Oh, interesting.
Right. So the first time that normal people will see this is when you already have Redstone 2, which is the March update, and then you're going to Redstone 3. That's the first time you'll see this, because it's only a feature delta thing. So it only affects you when you have the full new feature versions, not all the security updates in between or the cumulative updates. I know. It's hard to keep track of this.
I think everyone here understands that the notion of Delta updating has been around forever. Why is this so hard?
Apple does it on iOS.
So it's interesting why they said it was hard. They said they had to do a lot of work around the one core part of Windows to enable this. Okay, why is that? I don't know. But that was the answer that was given as to why this is involved and taking so long.
Hmm. Yeah, it's overdue. I mean, those big updates, you know, the 1511, the 1607,
they're big.
Such humongous things.
They are. And
it introduces a level of difficulty in the potential for problems when you have to do that kind of it's a major OS update, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But it's coming. Yay.
You want to talk about Windows Mobile?
More than anything, Leo.
I know. I could tell. You're champing at the bit, as one does.
So there was an interesting set of leaked information from Evan Blass. You know Evan Blass, leaker extraordinaire. Ev Leaks. He posted some things over the past week about what he says is codenamed Dell Stack. And what that is both, I believe, an Intel-based phone and an Intel-based 7-inch tablet that he said Dell and Microsoft were developing together since 2014. He had some renders of those and just had, he had the specs listed out. And the question is, are these ever going to come to market? And if not, why not? So I thought it would be interesting to talk a little bit in my post about this, about will Microsoft ever enable Windows 10 Mobile on Intel? Because if you remember back to when they were building Windows 10 before it was launched in July 2015, we kept hearing that Windows 10 Mobile was going to be an operating system for phones and small tablets that were ARM or Intel based. When it came to market, it was only an ARM operating system. And so far still is. I don't know if Microsoft's going to ever bring Windows 10 Mobile to Intel. I asked Harry Meyerson that over the summer, and he said, you know, theoretically our goal is to let OEMs do whatever they want. Any size screen, any chipset, whether Intel or ARM, and combine them in any kind of device format they want. But if you look at what Microsoft's doing around Windows 10 Mobile, it's definitely something they're focusing around ARM, at least for now. ARM and cellular is what he told me when we were talking October 26th. So the question is, does it ever make sense for Microsoft to bring this operating system, Windows 10 Mobile specifically, to any Intel chipset? Or is it for going forward only going to be an ARM-based operating system? We don't know.
That's Windows RT, what you're basically describing, right? Yep. And I've been meaning to write something about this because I think that idea still does make sense. And I think in many ways, the biggest weakness of Windows today, mainstream Windows, is its greatest strength, which is that kind of Win32 backwards compatibility stuff. Mm-hmm. And I always thought in the lead up to Windows RT that this was such a great chance to kind of do the platform right. Right. Mm-hmm. Obviously, that part of the platform has not taken off in any meaningful way. But I could have sworn there was some MSDN documentation that indicated that they were, in fact, building x86 versions of Windows 10 Mobile, even though they're not.
There was before. Yep, you're right. Before Windows 10 shipped, people were finding documents on TechNet and MSDN that said it's going to be on Intel, too.
Right.
But it never came out.
No, it's never materialized. Yeah. Well, maybe that was the stuff. You know, that was the this Dell and probably other devices were maybe part of that effort.
Yeah,
they just need to be careful with it because it will confuse people.
It totally will. And you know, Evan Blass said in his article on VentureBeat about this week that these are documents he saw that date back to 2014. So this is before Microsoft even shipped Windows 10. And a lot has changed since then, obviously. He said the original documents he saw had Dell not delivering this till next year. But so much has changed since 2014 to 2017. I kind of wonder if that'll even come to market.
Right. Yeah, a lot of people saw these renders and thought it was a Surface phone.
They did. Yep. It was not the Surface phone. And I mentioned in my post this week, whenever I heard leaks from my contacts about Surface phone, they always made sure to say, that's an ARM-based device, by the way.
Right, right.
It's not Intel. And so many people assumed it would be Intel.
Yeah. And we speculated that why would an Intel version of a Surface phone make some sense, right? We talked about that just from a speculative perspective. But I think for Windows fans, Microsoft fans, you know, they see Surface phone everywhere, kind of like when you see Jesus in a piece of toast or something like that.
Jesus' face on toast. The shroud on a
cloud. If you look at a cloud the right way, it looks like a map of something.
It does. So about those renders, who knows? Maybe one day, maybe not. He said KB Lake even when he was describing them, but I don't know. I just feel like because the last time I talked to Terry Myerson and I asked him about why are you still doing Windows Mobile, he made a point of talking about ARM and cellular, and he didn't mention
things
Intel.
Have changed. Yeah. And well, we know one thing has changed. The Intel chipset that would have gone into these things was canceled. Mm.
Right. That's right.
Earlier this year.
Because Intel got out of the low power chips, right?
Right.
So, yeah. The devices look amazing in pictures, of course, like the Courier did. But, yeah.
Yeah.
Let's take a little mini break. You want to take a mini break?
Okay.
Okay.
Break.
Mini break.
How much time do I have?
Have a cookie, a little glass of milk, and I'll be right back. But first, this word from our sponsor, Casper Mattresses. A good night's sleep is everything. And if anybody has ever had a bad night's sleep, you know that your rest of the day is screwed up. But in fact, research shows health-wise, you could end up looking like this. No, I'm sorry. I just had it. Paul's apparently playing with a VR helmet. Health-wise, it could cause health problems, heart disease, and other things. Stress is not good. Sleep is good. Relax. Live the dream with a Casper mattress. I love our Casper mattress. It's just the right sink, just the right bounce, because they combine springy latex foam with supportive memory foam. It's hard to describe, and that's why I want you to try a Casper in your house for 100 days completely risk-free. That's what I like about this. You can't judge a mattress by going to a mattress store and lying on it for 5 minutes in broad daylight while the salesperson's kind of giving you the stink eye going, are you going to put your shoes in that? Come on. Yeah, just buy it. Okay, just buy it. No, you want to take that mattress home, and you want to sleep on it for 100 nights. And if at any time in those 100 nights you don't like it, you call Casper. They will come. They will take it. They will refund you every single penny. But I know you're going to love your Casper mattress. It's so nice. It's breathable, so it sleeps cool. That's another thing. You know, you don't want to be sweating and hot at night. You want to be comfy. This is about comfort. An obsessively engineered mattress made in the USA, sold at a fair price, and that's because they eliminate the reseller showrooms and just pass the savings on to you. They really innovated the entire mattress business. Is why they got the 2016 Business Intelligence Group Innovation Award. Free shipping and returns in the U.S. and Canada. Of course, they're made to the highest environmental standards. I think sometimes, you know, they come in this like really compact box. And I think sometimes people look at it and go, oh, you're going to have to air that out, right? It's going to smell like latex or something. No, you know, it smells fresh and clean. It's just wonderful. Go shopping. Pick up a Casper mattress today, and we're going to get you $50 off your purchase by entering the promo code Windows. Go to casper.com/windows. Starts at $500 for a twin. They've got all the sizes you want. $50 off, casper.com/windows. Some terms and conditions apply, of course. Enter the promo code Windows to save. Casper, CASPER.com. Live the dream. Live the dream. Speaking of dream, it's like Paul Thurrott, you're wearing your VR dream visors. What is that?
It's an Alcatel VR headset.
Is that one of the Microsoft ones, the new ones?
No.
Oh.
Although it does work with it comes with a Windows phone. I believe there's an Android version too, but it's the Alcatel Idol 4S. They're selling it through T-Mobile in the United States only. I think it's the only way you can get it. The Android version probably has broader distribution. It's a nice phone. It's a kind of a flagship quality phone, glass and metal.
I saw pictures of that. I thought it looked pretty cool.
It is. It's beautiful.
Alcatel is the French telco. So it's a big company in France. They're not some, you know, fly-by-night.
Yeah, fly-by-night operation. No, it's actually a beautiful device. But it comes with this VR headset, which is kind of goofy because we don't really think of Windows 10 Mobile as having a lot in the way of VR.
Right. Does it? Is there an app? What do you do?
No, there's nothing.
But it looks cool.
It comes with two games, which are, you know, they're okay. It's kind of Google Cardboard quality from a visual perspective. It's kind of grainy and pixelated a little bit. The primary use of this would be, well, a couple of games. And then there's an inordinate amount of ways to play videos with this thing. And I think that's kind of the cool immersive thing. You can watch videos through the VR headset. But, you know, we don't really have the platform support like you would see on Android or iOS with Google Cardboard or whatever. And, you know, you don't buy it for this, but you get this if you buy it. And it's not terrible. It's kind of a nice introduction to VR if you've never done it. Oh, my God, Mary Jo.
You saw what I just tweeted?
Yep. Please explain yourself.
How dare you tweet while Paul's talking about VR headsets?
No, I don't care about that. I want to talk about what you just tweeted.
Okay. There's a site called WinBuzzer.com, and they just wrote about Microsoft patent to turn a Surface Pen strap, which seems to be the evolution of the Surface Pen loop, into a dual-use device that also works as a charger.
I wish there was a picture of this thing.
Wait a minute. A pen strap there charger?
Is. Wait, there is?
Oh, no, there is. No. Well,
oh, I see it. Sorry.
See it? There's a patent diagram.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah. It doesn't mean they're going to do it because it's just a patent application, but still it shows you like the Surface Pen loop idea is not dead, people. And I said it's a great opportunity for Paul to do a new field guide. I Surface know. Pen strap.
I told you I wrote a song for a Surface Pen loop, but I only got partway through it.
Oh.
It was to the tune of, what's that Goodnight Norma Jean song? Candle in the Wind. Let's see the private side of Paul. Anyway, it's very exciting.
Yes. I knew you would be excited when you saw that.
Yep.
Now, a patent doesn't mean anything, I should point out.
No, it doesn't. Sure. No. Sure. Doesn't it's mean they're doing it. Just an idea.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. But, you know, it means that they don't want anybody else to do it, too, right? You know.
Right.
We had this idea first.
Sure.
We own this idea.
I really think they need something like a pen loop or a pen strap or whatever they want to call it, because the Surface Pen does not say stay stuck to the Surface device when you put it in a bag.
Right.
It falls off.
I never bag mine, so I don't. I mean, it holds on really well you know, when you're sitting there.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's goofy. If you hit it the wrong way, it will spin around on the magnet, so it's kind of pointing at you or whatever. It's not baggable. You'll use it in a bag.
But it's a good strong magnet. It's not.
It is.
And
it's
it has
super
a clip.
Strong.
You could put it in your pocket when you put it in a bag.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I dropped the Surface Pen, and it affixed itself to a metal stool, and I could not pry that thing off.
I remember you couldn't find it for a while.
Right? First, I couldn't find it. Then it was stuck on the
and
stool,
it was there,
and I
like,
couldn't
days
get it
later
off.
Or something.
A bar stool, by any chance?
Perhaps.
Somebody in the chat room wondered, when you go to Rattle and Hum, is it like Cheers where they go, hey,
oh, it's
MJ?
Literally like Cheers.
Hey, MJ, have a beer with me today. Come on, sit down, and we'll talk. It'd be pretty funny.
Yep.
I would like a neighborhood bar where everybody knows your name. That'd be awesome.
I go in a place and everyone knows my name, and my friend Charlie will come in and he'll be like, I'm here too, by the way.
Does he start humming the Cheers song?
My name's Charlie.
What about me?
Yep.
Okay. We got distracted by the tweet.
Sorry.
Not that that's ever happened before.
No, never.
Never.
Where are we? I don't even know what we're talking about.
Can we kindly stop kvetching about dongles, Paul writes.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
That's Paul. I can tell that's Paul.
That's Paul. Yeah.
That is Paul. I don't understand all these complaints about the dongles. You know, like we can only move forward by implementing new technology. And in the interim, we have to use these adapters. But the thing is, if you go back to the very first Ultrabook, which was an Asus, you know, a ripoff of the MacBook Air, it required all kinds of dongles to do stuff. It had little proprietary ports for video out and for other things. If you wanted to connect an Ethernet adapter, there was a special Ethernet port, or maybe that was the Samsung, but there were different, you know, laptops. We've always had dongles. Why is everyone so freaked out about this? You know, I just find it, you know, to be silly. This is how we move forward. This has always been the case. When the original version of USB which was supposed to replace serial and parallel ports. They were dongles for those guys that had the old devices and they needed to still use them. That's how this works. You know, I there's all kinds of conversations we can have around, you know, incompatibility with cables and whether the MacBook Pro is a really a pro device or whatever. But I mean, the central issue here, you know, people freaking out about USB-C / Thunderbolt 3 is, I just think it's silly. Like, what? We're all experienced users here. Why are we acting like, you know, babies about this?
No, in fact, I've kind of come around to the same thing. This is their big battle on the Apple, you know, new MacBook Pro side. Oh, you have to have dongles. I love seeing Type-C adapters. I'm a huge fan. I think that that's the connector of the future. And frankly, if you have a laptop, you probably have stuff hanging off of it anyway.
I know. What's the big deal?
Apple's cut the price of adapters in half to kind of respond to that, which is a surprising admission from a company like Apple that usually just kind of says, no, we know it's right. Just do it. But I think if you carry around a laptop, you carry around stuff anyway. Carry around Ethernet adapters now because nobody has Ethernet anymore and on the laptop.
Right, right.
It's just kind of part of the deal.
Yeah. Yep.
So I kind of agree with you. I think if it's a necessary step to get to Type-C, it's fine.
It's like this faux outrage thing. Like, right. This is something, it's so easy. Like, look how funny it is. Look at all the adapters Apple sells. Like, guys, give it a rest.
Right.
I mean, they're giving you a way forward. There are legitimate things you can complain about, like the original MacBook, the current little MacBook,
which had one
only has a port on one side. That's stupid. Like, right. That's just needlessly limiting. The new devices have four ports.
Right.
I mean, stop. Right. You know, it's just stop. Right. It's ridiculous, and it's not just MacBooks. I mean, you know, we have them on the Windows side as well.
Yeah.
Goofy stuff. It's a transition. You know, the device that Mary Jo's using has a USB-C / Thunderbolt port for power. HP has artificially limited it so that it only works with the power.
Crazy.
Which is so dumb.
Drives me crazy. And I was
hoping
I was hoping it was just built into the software and that when I put Linux on that beautiful HP Spectre 13T, it's a hardware thing.
I wonder if they can't fix that through a firmware update. I was under the impression they were going to do that. So. We shall see.
That's been your experience too, Mary Jo. You can't charge it with anything but the
HP. That's the way it works. Right. That's a fact.
It's built that way, right?
Right.
Yes. Because they didn't want people to buy an off-market.
Yeah, but nobody else does that. Even Apple doesn't do that. You could charge a MacBook with anything that has charges Type-Cs, including a battery. You know,
listen, we're complaining about a port that does everything. Every kind of video, power with pass-through. Apple hasn't had a docking solution on a laptop since the early 1990s. Now they all have all the docking you want is available. It's wonderful.
Yeah.
We're complaining about it.
You know, partly I don't mind because I've already invested in Type-C dongles for the MacBook and for, you know, all my phones now are Type-C or, you know, and so it's just, this is kind of the way of the world. I have lots of Type-C cables and in the long run, I think everything's going to be Type-C and that will solve a lot of problems.
Right. Right.
Make it easier. The Dell Intel-based Windows phone that never happened. We haven't talked about that yet, have we?
Well, we just mentioned it in passing. Okay. Yeah.
I'm just going down the list.
That was those EV leaks.
Right. Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah.
And the garage. Is that?
Yeah, just quickly, I I was interested, to see that they had just celebrated their second anniversary, although I think the garage maybe is less formal. Group has actually been around for longer.
Is this
than that.
Their R&D division or?
No, not exactly. It's kind of an in-house incubator kind of thing for individual Microsoft programmers who want to do something very specific, and they allow them to put out these mobile apps. They do a lot of work with charities that need specific solutions. They'll create these solutions for them and then give them the solution.
Is it like their version of 20% time, kind of?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. It's sort of like that. Yeah, yeah.
Google does that with its employees, right?
For Microsoft fans, the garage is a little tough because a lot of their solutions come out on iOS or Android first or only. We still have this kind of lingering mentality.
Is the Pix? Microsoft Pix app, which is on iOS. It's a better camera app. That must be a garage project. Feels
I'm
like
not
it.
Sure, if that one is, I don't know.
Yeah.
But I think what's happened there is that it has helped to trigger a new understanding of the world at Microsoft, a new way of doing things. And, you know, if you think about the old Microsoft as big monolithic things like like Office, these are, you know, they're mobile apps. They're like single solutions to do one thing, small, light, fast moving, et cetera. And they make some awesome stuff. They've got some great apps on all platforms, you know, but they have, there are some Microsoft Garage solutions that will help you turn an Android device into like a Microsoft phone. You know, it's pretty far reaching. It's kind of a neat thing. So anyway, it's two years old.
Mm-hmm. Skype messaging everywhere.
Everywhere.
Oh, joy. So,
I know. This one's a little bit hard to explain, but I'm going to try. Like everything with Skype, right? Microsoft talked before they did Windows 10 anniversary update about including a messaging everywhere feature in Windows 10 anniversary. They decided at the last minute to pull it. And they said, you know what? We're going to just make this part of Skype. So they did release a Skype preview app that was a universal Windows platform app that had this capability built into it. And right now, as of last week, what you can do with that is if you have a Windows 10 mobile device and you have Windows 10 anniversary, you can see on your PC when you get messages in Skype on your phone. They also kind of provided people with another way to do this, which was if you had Cortana on your Windows phone or your Android phone and your Windows PC, you could see those messages as well. But as of last week, they discontinued the capability for those of us with Android phones, and they said there was something temporarily wrong with it, and they're going to be adding it back at some point, but they didn't say when. So for a while, I could get a message on my Android phone and see it show up on my Windows 10 PC and respond to it on the PC, but I can no longer do that as of now because my theory is because Microsoft's going to make that part of Skype for Android, and they're going to enable it the same way that they're doing with Windows 10 mobile. But that doesn't exist yet. They just said that will be coming at some point.
Yeah, so, that makes sense.
Yeah. We're getting closer to messaging everywhere, although it won't be on iOS, I guess, right? Because they need certain access
that
Apple can't provide.
Maybe Leo knows this.
Yeah, he might.
Messaging apps like the new Google stuff, like Allo and mm-hmm. Duo or whatever, mm-hmm. and then but also Facebook Messenger mm-hmm. will prompt you to take over the MMS SMS capabilities.
Yes, actually, Allo ironically will not. Google's Allo cannot do that. So Google has two Messenger apps. There's one called Messenger that comes on all Android mm-hmm. phones. Often, if you get one from Samsung, they'll have or some other company, they'll have their version, and they also call it confusingly Messenger. So you probably have three programs called Messenger, and then Hangouts.
People wonder why we complain about Android.
Which is Hangouts is cross-platform. It works on your desktop. It seems like the perfect solution, except Google hates it. So Google's Messenger strategy is horrifically fractured. However, that is one advantage of the Android phone. You can use Facebook messages, for instance, which I do.
Yeah, but that's only on Android, right?
You can't do that on iOS. Apple will never let you do that.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. They'll never let the other vendors tap in, right?
In fact, they used to have a rule you couldn't even offer in the store something that duplicated functionality Apple had already provided, which kept third-party browsers off of the platform for a long time. But yeah, the Messenger, if you're going to send an SMS on an iPhone, it's using Apple's messages, period. That's the
only choice. I think what Mary Jo just said then is correct, that a future version of the Skype app for Android will provide this, what they call SMS relay function.
And I would welcome that. This is something,
but not on iOS.
No, it can't.
No.
No.
This is one of the things I like about Android is you can use alternatives for kind of the built-in apps if you want to in many cases.
You know, this opens up an interesting possibility because one of the problems that people coming from Windows Phone to other platforms have is that their messages, their text messages, were saved to their Microsoft account. And if you got a new Windows Phone, they would come back. And it was kind of a neat feature of the Windows Phone platform. But when they go to Android or iOS, they don't have a way to access that stuff. If Microsoft were to save these messages through Skype probably also to your Microsoft account. Mm-hmm. It seems like you would be able to get the equivalent of a multi-device text messaging archive.
Which is what you want. That's why I use Hangouts.
Which is exactly what you want.
Yeah,
yes.
And you could use it on your desktop, on mm-hmm. your mobile.
Mm-hmm.
And I have multiple mobiles, and I know a lot of people have one for home.
How awesome would that be?
Yeah, and so you have, and that's what Hangouts offers. Allo specifically, A, won't do text messages, and B,
why is that?
Is tied to your phone number. Because Google's cuckoo.
Wait a minute. So Allo is tied to your phone number and will not do text messages.
Yeah, so you can't have, you know, I have Allo on one. You can have it on multiple phones, but it will have to have a different phone number on each. There's no desktop solution for it, and you can't use Allo as an SMS messenger. It's not. Is not one of the they give you choices.
Amazing.
Welcome to the wonderful, wacky world of Google. It's one of the things I really am mad about them, mad about with them, is that they don't seem to really have a solution for messaging, which is a huge, you know, Apple, the one thing Apple doesn't do is cross-platform, right? There's no messages if they made a messages for Android.
They're rumored to be doing, by the way.
Rumored to be doing. They need to do it for Windows, too. Then that would be a credible. But this is where there's an opening that Microsoft can exploit.
Yep.
Except not on iPhone, because Apple's smart.
Not too pure and perfect, Leo.
Right.
Yep.
Well, you know, that's life. And do you want to be a Skype insider? Now you can.
You shouldn't.
this is why we love Paul.
This is kind of a funny aside, and maybe this has changed. We should look this up. But Microsoft has something called the Windows Insider Program. They have something called the Office Insider Program. And now they have something called the Xbox Insider Program. And now they have something called the Skype Insiders Program. Like, they literally got the name inconsistently wrong with the rest of the company, which, by the way, is kind of Skype in a nutshell, isn't it? Like, that little lack of attention to detail is
funny.
Skype. It's just Skype.
It's
so
plural.
Beautifully perfect.
Insiders. That's so funny.
It's the only one.
Oh, really? That's
they didn't get the memo.
Oh, they got the memo. They just didn't read it. You know? And I just, that kind of stuff, I don't know why it bothers me, but, you know, we obviously have our issues with Skype. So it's just kind of, to me, it's just kind of funny how they got that wrong.
So they had the Skype Insiders before for iOS, right?
Oh, did they really?
No, yeah. But I think now they only added certain types now, right? Like, they added Windows desktop and Android, right?
Right. And supposedly Windows UWP is the future of the platform, and people are wondering what's up with that. But I look at it more of a way for them to kind of test new features. So maybe it doesn't exactly matter which version of the client you're using, but... the other goofy thing about it, by the way, is it's private. So you're literally asked to keep what they're doing a secret, which just kind of goes against the whole way Insider works everywhere else at Microsoft, too.
Yeah.
I just think they have a hard time, period. Yeah. Just leave it there. I don't know. It's too bad. So, yeah, you can join it if you want.
Interesting. Xbox, you have any Xbox news?
God, I hope so.
I just got my PlayStation Pro with 4K.
Oh, how do you like it?
It's very frustrating.
Excellent. Why? Yeah,
good news. Well, it's 4K everywhere, unlike the Xbox One S.
Mm-hmm. Well, what do you mean?
But you have to have a 4K game, but if you had a 4K game, it'd be 4K.
Yeah.
It does 4K streaming and all that stuff, but it doesn't have a...
Right.
Disc player, a media.
Right.
So
that's actually, I normally wouldn't buy a disc, but because the Xbox One S supports this, I did buy three of them.
They look good.
And oh my God, they're incredible.
Yeah.
Or at least two of them are. Like that new Mad Max movie in particular.
That's the one I bought. I loved it. I keep watching
HDR,
it.
HDR, you know, it's crazy.
It's beautiful.
It's nuts. I mean, it's like they've invented new colors.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So
it really is.
I guess Sony, it's a Blu-ray standard. So it's the Blu-ray UHD is a Sony standard, but they didn't want to put it in there, probably to keep the price lower. I don't know.
So Google makes a messaging app that can't do messaging. And Sony, which was the co-creator of Blu-ray probably and the co-owner of the spec.
Yeah, they don't put it
has
in
a Blu-ray in their computer.
That but their point is, well, it's you're going to use streaming anyway, and there is 4K UHD HDR streaming.
But
it's
not.
I don't think it's ever, even if you have tons of bandwidth, it's ever going to be quite as good as a disc.
Yep, I agree.
But they're saying, well, this is the future.
Yeah, but we're buying it today. And you have a disc player in it. Yeah. It's not like we decided not to put the player in it.
Right.
You know, we have the old version.
Right.
That is weird. I got a Chromecast 4K, by the way, and I'm despite the fact that it...
I've ordered whatever, it. It hasn't come yet.
Despite, I haven't seen it do actual... I mean, well,
we have to find something.
No, I understand. I mean, what I mean is it says it's 38, whatever the resolution is.
Right.
3840 by 2160 or something. Yeah. It does say that. My TV reports that's the resolution.
Okay, good.
But I look at it, and I don't know. It looks like it's upscaling something.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Huh. That's too bad.
I haven't played with it too much, but
yeah, I ordered mine. It's kind of been an interesting project. I've slowly take so because I bought Paul and I both bought UHD. Premium TVs, which have do 4K HDR.
Because once you see this thing, you can never go back.
And I've always been a fan of 4K since I saw it at CES 10 years ago. So to me, that was the technology I was really bullish on. And then slowly I'm upgrading the cabinet, you know, my AV cabinet, to have everything 4K. Apple TV, not 4K, can't be 4K. No. So it's a little frustrating. And
Roku does 4K and
I got
HDR,
the new Roku 4K. Yep. It looks beautiful. Yep. I have an Android device, the NVIDIA Shield. It's an Android TV device. Does 4K. 4K is really nice, but you got to have the TV and blah, blah, blah. By the way, we'll have a review of that Sony PlayStation Pro on Saturday on the new screensavers. We're working on that right now.
Cool.
Taking a break. Back of the book. Ready? Get your beer. Yep. Get your beer ready. Here comes the back of the book, but first a word from our sponsor, Carbonite. Carbonite Online Backup is backup done right because it's automatic. You don't have to think about it. Don't have to remember. You know, a backup that you have to remember to do, you're not going to do. I know you're not going to do it because you're going to forget. And you know when you're going to forget? You're going to forget the week you lose the hard drive. So you're going to – get ransomware, right? If, by the way, this is your job at your office to do this. You don't want the boss coming running down the hall saying, Smithers, what's happening? We don't know, all the data is encrypted. What you want to be able to do is say, oh, my God, you got a ransomware virus, boss. No problem. I'll take care of it. And then you got the data safe on Carbonite. You don't want to be the one who said, I forgot to back up this week. Carbonite Online Backup. Automatic. It's continuous as long as you're online. They have home and office versions for Windows and Mac. If you go to Carbonite.com, look at the plans they have. They have a ton of them. They're all great. But you want to pick the one that's best for you. For instance, if you're in a business, you got to consider the servers and the networks and stuff. And you definitely will want versioning because that's what's going to save you if you get a ransomware on your system. But boy, is it affordable. The personal basic starts as low as $42 a year for everything on a PC or a Mac. I mean, that's just amazing. Go here. What am I saying? Just go. Carbonite.com. If you've been putting it off, do not be the person that puts this thing off and then says, because I'll tell you what, once you lose data, you always think about it. Then you know. I can always tell the people who've lost data. Carbonite.com. They have a hybrid solution that is Cloud Plus on site that I really like for businesses. That's the E2, the E-Vault. Really a great idea. You got to, and by the way, you don't have to be a complete geek to use it. And now I know people listening to the show are complete geeks, but think about this for your family and friends too, because maybe they're the ones who will be calling you, saying my data is scrambled. What happens? What do I do now? Carbonite.com. If you want to try it, it's free, no credit card needed. It's truly free. If you decide to buy, though, you'll have wanted to use the offer code Windows on the trial, right? Because you get 2 free months with purchase, and we get the credit. So, Carbonite.com, try it free, use the offer code Windows, and get 2 months free with purchase. You got to back it up to get it back. Stop worrying. Start backing up right with Carbonite. Paul Thurrott, Mary Jo Foley, you're watching Windows Weekly. You're listening to Windows Weekly. You're consuming it through the osmotic filter in your brain. However, you're
enjoying it. It's like a code injection for your brain.
However you're enjoying it, it's time for Paul Thurrott's tip of the week.
So I have two. One was is not so Microsoft-centric, but I noticed this week that Apple finally added iPhone to their refurbished store, which is actually kind of a big deal because iPhones are really expensive. So if the price of an iPhone was putting you off, you should check out.
Is it really low? A lot? Because usually Apple's refurbs are not.
$120 off. Yeah.
Something.
Yeah. It's last year's phone, right? Because it's probably those iPhone upgrade program phones.
Right.
But I almost exclusively buy Apple hardware through, well, except for the iPhone I buy every year. I mean, you know, when I buy other devices, I'll buy it through the refurbished store just to save money. It's the same warranty. It's great quality.
Right.
On a more Microsoft note, Microsoft is promoting, although they're not actually hosting it, but a OneNote conference online. And where is this from? It is conference begins November 12 and concludes on November 17th. So it's coming up. And it's basically just a virtual online conference. 21 speakers, online video, et cetera. And so for people like Mary Jo, I think, who have voiced an interest in learning how to use OneNote, right? Well, no, you have. This might be a great way to do it.
I'm laughing because I looked at that and I'm like, it takes like 6 days to explain OneNote. This is why I don't use OneNote.
That's good. No, I like that. That reminds me of the last time I was in the Netherlands and I spoke at the Windows 7 event and I was signing copies of my book and this guy said, can I ask you a question about your book? And I said, sure. And he said, if Windows 7 is so easy to use, why is your book 1,000 pages long?
Yeah.
So that's a good question. Because it's padded with screenshots. Anyway, something to think about. It looks pretty cool. So that's at learnononconference.com, like learn on conference, O-N for OneNote.com. Check that out. I'm losing my notes here. Okay. And this will light up my face just by virtue of me reading it. And the app pick of the week. So it's actually, I've got a couple of app picks, but they're all the same app because Call of Duty came out last week, Leo. And it's funny. I was kind of reminiscing with my wife over breakfast that morning. I said, this is the first year in several years I haven't gotten up with midnight with my son and
either
gone to the store. Yeah.
But actually, is that a yearly surprise event normally?
Yeah. But now Mark's away at college, so we can't really share this in person. But actually, she flew him home for a surprise and kind of bit her tongue. So he actually did show up that day.
Oh, really?
That's so cute. But of course, you don't go to the store anymore, or do you?
No. But we, the past couple of years, I got him up at midnight.
You play it together.
Play for a couple hours.
That
was kind of nice.
That is so sweet.
Yes.
Holy cow.
So for the new Call of Duty, obviously there's a new game, Call of Duty Infinite Warfare. There's three game modes, single player, multiplayer, and a new zombies experience, which is supposed to be awesome. But you also, if you buy the more expensive versions of the games, you can get the Modern Warfare Remastered, which has single and multiplayer full experience. That game is awesome. It's just awesome. And I just looked at this stat before the show. I've already played Modern Warfare Remastered for 1 day and 6.5 hours. And it came out on Friday. So it's like I've spent a pretty good chunk of my waking hours just playing this game. It's so, so excellent. And then the app raised the mobile pick of the week is the same app because you can buy this through the Windows Store if you want. It doesn't have Xbox Play Anywhere capabilities, which I think should be obvious, although I guess this is confusing some people. But if you want to play it on Windows, you can get an $80 version of the game that includes the remastered game, but also the 1 year of DLC, which is the map packs you get for multiplayer. So if you were to buy those things normally, it would be like $140, I think, if I'm doing the math right. So it's a significant savings. The downside is you are buying it in the Windows Store. So, that might not be exactly what you're looking for. But anyway, the game's out. It is the Call of Duty Infinite Warfare single player campaign is surprisingly excellent. I'm still kind of mixed on multiplayer. And then Modern Warfare Remastered is just incredible across the board. It's awesome.
Yeah, I guess I better get going. Get ordering.
Really, really good stuff.
Cool. That's it, right? That's you did the tip and the pick.
I did.
Well, then I guess you better step back, my friend, and let Mary Jo Foley come on down with your enterprise pick of the week.
Right. So I don't know if every IT pro already knew this, but I didn't know it until I saw a blog post from Microsoft recently. But the Enhanced Mitigation Experience Toolkit, also known as EMET, is going away. I guess I just missed that original announcement. Originally, this was supposed to go away in January 2017, which I didn't know, but Microsoft has decided to extend the end of life for this till July 2018. So EMET's a really popular tool with IT pros who want to boost Windows security. Microsoft actually came out with it way back when they were having a lot of problems with Windows and security. And they didn't want to make users wait every 3 to 4 years for a new release of Windows to be able to supplement the security features. So they did that through this toolkit. Their explanation why they're doing this is they say, you know what? Windows 10 has a lot of security stuff baked in. And so if you're on Windows 10, you don't need EMET. Here's the problem, though. For Windows 7 users who have not upgraded to Windows 10, and you don't have to until January 2020, you are going to lose access to this in 2018. So I kind of feel like it's another way for Microsoft to give you a little nudge if you're still on Windows 7. Hey, you should go to Windows 10. And if you are somebody using this, you should be putting this date on your calendar that EMET's going away July 2018. And it seems like there's no reprieve on that.
Hmm. Interesting.
There's also a little bonus pick here, an enterprise bonus pick, for people who love Microsoft Access. And who doesn't?
I'm a database fad.
You know what's funny?
I prefer Fox Pro, but please go on.
What do you mean? DBase 3, baby, all the way.
3 plus.
So, I don't know if you guys remember, but when Microsoft had its initial Office 365 small and medium-sized business plans, they did include Access as one of the things you got with them. Then when they moved everybody to the new plans a year plus ago, they took Access away. And I cannot tell you how many emails I got from people saying, what happened to Access? Like, they took it away. And the idea I think Microsoft had was, you know what, not everybody in your organization needs Access, so we're just going to have it that it's not in the base Office 365 plan for a small business. And if you need it for some of your users, you go buy Access separately. Well, something must have happened because they're adding it back again now to the Office 365 Business and the Business Premium plans. So if you're on either one of those, you're going to be getting Access back. And it's funny. This week when I wrote about this, I heard from people saying, yay, they're bringing it back. But man, the past year and a half, I've had nothing but hell from my users who were like, where's Access? So now I can tell them, yeah, now we can go back to these two plans and get Access again. So if you like Access, you'll be happy about this. It's coming over the course of the next couple months. I guess if you're in the deferred channel, you'll get it mid next year. But it's definitely coming back.
But that's not all.
That's not all. There's so many good enterprise picks this week. I said, let me substitute the codename pick with yet one more enterprise pick.
One more pick.
And this one is for SharePointers. SharePoint Server 2016 got its first feature pack this week. You may not think that's a big deal, but for people who still want to use SharePoint Server on premises, this is a very big deal. Microsoft announced earlier this year that they would be doing feature packs for SharePoint Server because I think they wanted to kind of calm people down about, okay, Microsoft's really pushing us to the cloud and they don't really care about on-prem anymore. But they said, no, we're going to be introducing new features for you between the every 2 to 3 year updates of SharePoint Server on-prem, and we're going to give it to you in the form of a feature pack. So this week, the first of those feature packs came out. And what's interesting about Feature Pack 1 for SharePoint Server 2016 is some of the features in it require software assurance licensing, but not all of them do. So there are some things, even if you don't have software assurance, you'll get for free. There's some new admin features and more granular controls of different capabilities that you have in SharePoint. But there are some things like the new experience for OneDrive for Business that you'll only get if you have software assurance. In any case, it's just a reminder that SharePoint Server 2016 is not the last version of SharePoint Server on premises. Microsoft says there'll be more. We don't know how many. But in the interim, you'll get these feature packs, and the first one is this week.
All right. I don't know about you, but I could use a nice beer right now.
Yeah. I was thinking about what to make the beer pick in honor of all the goings and comings of the week. So I thought we kind of all needed a big beer after this week.
Or two.
Or two. Or maybe two. So I picked for the pick a quad, which is a quadruple beer. It's La Trappe Quad.
I love triples. Is this one better?
Yeah, this is quadruple.
What does that
mean? Even better than a
triple. Triple hops? Quadruple hops? What does that mean?
It's not, quads are not usually hoppy. They're more like a rich tasting beer, almost like more in line with a barley wine or something like that. Dark color, dark in color, usually tastes like a little burnt, some dried fruits kind of things, vanilla. Definitely like more of a dessert beer. This one that I picked, La Trappe Quad, is a 10% beer. And the cool thing is it's from the Netherlands.
Nice. Where you're going.
Which is where Paul and I are going next week. So, yeah, the brewery, I don't know how to pronounce this. Maybe one of you guys can help. Brouwerij de Koningshoven?
Koningshoven.
Koningshoven. Sorry.
Brouwerij de Koningshoven.
I've definitely had this.
Yeah, I think you've had it. I've had it, and it's really great. And hopefully we're going to have it again next week.
Hey, I love triples. So you introduced me to triples on our New Year's Eve show a couple of years ago. And they sell it at the Petaluma Market, so I'm always buying that white one.
Oh,
the
nice.
White bottle one from Belgium. I love it.
Yeah.
Can't remember the name. But
yeah, they're good. They're good stuff. They're all very heavy, but
it's
they're delicious.
It's a meal in itself.
It is, yeah.
It's actually a meal and booze together.
It is. Yeah. The quads are kind of, if you know what Trappist beers are like, they're like a Belgian Trappist style beer.
My favorite.
Definitely good.
My favorite kind.
Yep. Yep.
Well, very nice. That's a good pick. I wish I had a bottle or two right now.
We should talk about next week, though, should we?
Next week's from, from Holland? Happening? Really? Wow.
Yes.
Yep. Is that very old fashioned to call it Holland? Is that like Hans Brinker in the Golden Skates era? Is that like the boy in
the hotel
dyke?
I'm staying in lists their address as Holland.
Okay. I mean,
wow.
Yeah.
You know, what's funny is our guide in when we were in the Netherlands just a couple months ago said, you know, that boy in the dyke story, that's an American story. That's me.
Right.
We don't talk about that. I am so jealous. So you're going to be in Harlem. Mm-hmm. Are you doing the show from Harlem?
Yes. Well, no, technically no, right?
Where are you doing the show from?
Right. Between Amsterdam and Harlem.
Yeah, it's probably, is it in Amsterdam? It's right, it's near the airport. So it's kind of, yeah, like she said, between the two cities.
Should we talk about where it's going to be so people who are listening?
Yep.
So no need to
do
be
you
coy
want to
at
do
this
the honors?
Point. I think you can tell everyone.
Yeah. So I'm sorry. I'm trying to find it. So when I went out, I just happened to tell a story about this. When I went out to the Netherlands in 2009 for the Windows 7 launch, I did that event with a guy from a company called Wartel, Danny Berlage, who is still there. And they've invited us to come to their facility, which is awesome. It's a converted church, you know, to do the show. So let me get the address here. It's in this gigantic email. Sorry.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So it's called Lid. Oh, jeez. I have to pronounce this. Ligenden, the Netherlands. It's between Amsterdam and Harlem. It's north of the Schiphol Airport. It's called Wartel.
Linden.
There you go. Wartell. You should look it up on Google Street View. It's really beautiful. Like I said, it's a church, which they've hollowed out the inside of. It's like a beautiful modern office. Nice. And then they've actually added on to it, which I think the add-on wasn't there the last time I was there. But so next Wednesday, local time, the show will be at the regular time. So 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. whatever time zone there in the Netherlands, 6 hours ahead. And then an hour or two before that, we're going to be there early to have a meetup. And so anyone who's in the area can come down to Wartell. If you're at the show, obviously you can come over. It's not that far. You'll have to, you know, figure out some sort of transportation. But we're going to have a guy. I should be better at this stuff. Edwin from Wartell is going to do a HoloLens demonstration for us. And we're going to have beer and snacks.
Yeah.
And we're gonna hang out. I feel like I'm forgetting something.
No, I think that's right. Yeah. So there'll be parking on site there for people who want to drive to Wartell. And you don't have to give us an RSVP. You can just come a couple hours mm-hmm. before the show starts. So 6 p.m., around 6 p.m. Their time. And just right. come on in. They'll be there. We'll be there. They'll be there.
Yep. And then I think, I don't know what the schedule is, but at the show we're at, which is the IT Unity show, there's a Share Pint event. Do you know when that is?
I don't know when that is. Yeah.
I have a feeling it's Thursday or Friday that week. But I'm sure we'll be there as well.
Yeah. If you're because going to that pint show, we'll be share pinting. Yes.
All right. So, and we'll be, is there any change in the schedule of the show or?
No. We've already looped in Alex so he can talk to their right, tech good. Guy about figuring out all the AV stuff.
Good.
It should be just a normal schedule. So,
next week at the usual time, mm-hmm. 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Mm-hmm. Eastern time. And that is now 1900 UTC.
I love what you do. I love that you can. Even conceptualize this.
I know. Yeah.
Well, and we screw everything up by changing our time after everybody yeah. else. So it's really
we finally did do it last weekend, though.
Yeah.
So we're
now on winter
back
time.
On schedule.
Yeah, we're on winter time. UTC minus 8. So the reason I mention that is you could figure out what you know. I figure only a small slice of you actually live in UTC land, but British Standard Time. But the rest of you can just figure out what your differential is. And knowing our differential, well, actually knowing right. that we're at 1900 UTC. What is it? Did I say 1900? 1900 UTC. Figure out what that means. For
Mary Jo, when are you flying out? On Friday?
Friday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm actually going out tomorrow.
Gosh, I'm so jealous.
See you there.
One of my are you going to stay in? You'll probably stay in Amsterdam, right?
For the long weekend we will, and then on Monday I think we go to Harlem.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll probably still spend time in Amsterdam that week a little bit, right? Because the show doesn't start till the second half of the week. And if you're in Amsterdam, I mean, I don't have specific plans yet, but you can email me. I'm going to try to show up at Elsa's in Amsterdam and bring Mary Jo because I need her to see this place. And you know, maybe we can figure out a more impromptu meetup there as well if you can't make the other thing.
And do you guys think you're just going to stay there or do you think you'll come back?
You mean forever? Oh, right.
Forever.
Well, they just legalized marijuana in Massachusetts.
Actually, you don't have to go to Amsterdam anymore. Both Massachusetts and California apparently will be able to go to the 7-Eleven soon and pick up a pack of smokes.
Yep. Nice.
So there you go. That's making America great again.
It'll make it something different again, that's for sure.
One of the things I really enjoyed about Amsterdam was, I guess at some point, the Protestant nation banned Catholicism.
Yes.
They didn't kick out Catholics. They didn't even apparently persecute Catholics, but they just said you can't have a Catholic church in public. So they have all these attic churches.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And there's one down at the red light district that's just beautiful. And it's in a house. You wander through a house, and you get to the attic, and suddenly you're in a beautiful church.
It would be like as if there were a little cathedral, not a cathedral, like a little, what's a mini church called?
A chapel in the house. Yeah.
In my little office, you know, three, four rows of seats, a little cross.
It's so cool. And that's actually, as I remember, in the red light district, which is kind of weird because you come out the door and there's a young woman there in the window.
So you got to the yin and the yang.
That's a very But I really like, I think the canals. Well, you've both been there many times, I'm sure.
I've never been there.
Actually, what? She's never been.
No.
Oh, Mary Jo. It's one of the great cities of Europe. It's really
I'm going to be leading around like the Sound of Music when they're running up on the mountain.
Well, and you're a beer lover. I mean, it's like.
Yeah, it's so awesome.
Very nice. Very nice.
Well, it's so beautiful. I love Amsterdam.
So you're there for a few days and a week almost.
A week.
Nice. Gosh, I'm jealous.
Oh, be quiet. You just got back from world.
I know, and I want to go again. I love it. I love traveling. Jeez. I love it. All right.
I just went on an awesome trip.
Yeah. Including Amsterdam, by the way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Our show concludes now with this moment.
Moment of silence.
a moment of silence, reminding you. There'd be no point because they just fast forward right through it. Reminding you that if you can't be here live at, you know, all that UTC thing, you can get on demand audio and video at twit.tv/WW or subscribe. We encourage you to. That way you won't miss an episode of the best, one of the best shows on the in the world on the internet. Paul Thurrott is at Thurrott.com, Thurrott, doublegood.com. Mary Jo Foley is at allaboutmicrosoft.com, the ZDNet blog where she writes all about Microsoft, amazingly enough. Thank you, gentle lady and gentle sir, kind sir. Have a wonderful trip. We'll see you again next week on Windows Weekly. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.